I asked them to consider in their lifetime of service what it is that they received from Srila Prabhupada directly or indirectly that has kept them connected with his service, kept them going in his service. Because you can understand this, as I said, this is, we're looking at decades of service here, individually and collectively. So there's something there that sparked in the heart of each and every one of these devotees that has pulled them to Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet and kept them there. And so I asked them to consider that point.
Hare Krishna, thank you. Tamahara Das was initiated in 1973 by Srila Prabhupada in the mood of keeping it short and also in trying to focus on those things which we found as inspiration through our lifetime of service. I'm going to pass on all the small pastimes that I may have had with Srila Prabhupada. I didn't have a lot of personal association. But I was going to read something from, this is the initiation letter I got from Srila Prabhupada. This is the last paragraph. But from Bhagavad Gita, we understand that God is the father of all living beings. So the father must be competent to provide for all the children. We get it from the Vedic literature, Nicho Nichanam, Chaitanas Chaitanam. Among all the eternals, there is one chief eternal being, and he is engaged in supplying and fulfilling the desires of all others. Therefore, our conclusion is that the real problem is not overpopulation or pollution, malnutrition, etc., but the actual problem is godlessness. Now, here's the instruction. So you are all intelligent boys and girls. Therefore, my request to you is that you study the science of Krishna consciousness and solve all the problems of the world by systematic propaganda as far as you're able to do it. So if I'm ever wondering if I need some inspiration or there's anything more to do, I don't think that I've solved all the problems of the world yet. But at least Srila Prabhupada gave a little out. He said, as far as you're able to do so, which is a limited capacity in my point. So at any rate, this just has always inspired me, realizing that Srila Prabhupada always thought big. He never thought small. He always expected great things from us. And he always gave us that encouragement that we were capable of changing the world. Hare Krishna.
Ramapad Swami initiated in 1971, and I'm going to keep in time also. The inspiration, Malati, this, so I got it? The inspiration that inspired me, or that which inspired me to dedicate and continue dedicating myself to Srila Prabhupada. Is this close to the theme? An appreciation, I would maybe even say a near-death experience kind of a thing, where I was practicing Krishna consciousness through the association of some of the followers of Srila Prabhupada. They weren't yet initiated devotees at the university that I was attending, that one that produced about 20, 25 Hare Krishna devotees at the University of Buffalo. I was one. And I got my first Back to Godhead magazine from Bori John and so forth and so on. I think I got my... Anyway, so I was living in a farmhouse with a group of people that I hadn't met before I came in contact with Krishna consciousness, and several of them were practicing Krishna consciousness. And we had a zendo in the house, and we had a whole system practically all day long of doing something, some kind of smorgasbord sadhana, trying this, trying that, the other thing, the other thing, the other thing. And one day, make it quick, I went for a long japa walk, and I got so absorbed in the chanting of the holy name, I didn't even know where I was. I crossed the cornfield, through the forest, over the stream, hill and dale, and it was, I don't know how much time passed, and I was just so absorbed in the chanting of the holy name, and it was feeling something. And then came to the clearing, the end of the edge of the trees. And then off in the distance was the skyline of the city. And there was this series of things that just flashed, 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 that said, Prabhupada, save me from that. I had no idea who I was or where I was going, just on the conveyor belt of life with ignorance driving my life and passion. And I appreciated very deeply that Prabhupada sacrificed his life to come and find obscure persons like myself who he didn't even know. He risked his life to take me by the hand and take me to Krishna. And I had to give back. I had received so much. And that inspiration, as I was walking back to the house through the cornfield, my realization was, I must give my life to Prabhupada. And that moment has been carrying me for 40-something years.
My name is Bhakti Marg Swami, and I joined the movement in late March of 1973 in Toronto, Canada. Woo-woo! Got initiated. Okay, and so what I want to share just for a few seconds is the need instruction from Prabhupada in his, the way he did it, this circumstance, was to take care of your health. So I think everybody knows the story. Brahmananda tells it. It was in New York, and Prabhupada was having serious physical conditions, and it was Memorial Day weekend. Everyone left New York City. Hospitals weren't, you know, doctors weren't available. Prabhupada didn't really want to go to a hospital, but doctors were searched. So Brahmananda called all over the place. His family doctor finally secured one doctor, and he came. He was a Jewish doctor and an older guy, and he couldn't figure out what was going on with all these bare feet people with no furniture and mumbling all over the place. And so then the devotees asked for a diagnosis, and the doctor said, I'll tell you what his problem is. You know, he's praying too much. The old man's praying too much. I said, tell him he's got to get out and he's got to walk, go for a walk. So that's what they told the devotees. And they didn't take that instruction too seriously from the doctor. But Prabhupada then corrected them, and he said, this is what you have to do. I have to do this. That doctor was very wise, you know. So that's when his daily morning walk started from that point on. So I was a Sankirtan devotee, I guess, what do you call it, like a paraphernalia / Sankirtan devotee, selling paintings and traveling all over the country. And, you know, I was getting serious lower back problems. And instead of going to chiropractors and getting help from, you know, physicians all the time, I thought, I'm going to correct this myself. I'm going to start walking just like Prabhupada. And I did, and I'm an addict, you know. So it allowed me to be more of a sannyasi, to travel around, meet people, greet them, get a little more accustomed to what it means to, you know, deal with media and so on. I thought, let's go for a long walk across Canada. And it all started with Prabhupada. I joined Prabhupada in Atlanta on the walk there. I was with him in Chicago at Lake Michigan. I was on a morning ride with him because it was raining in Detroit in Belle Isle. So we would just watch the back of his head. We were driving behind him. But it all has to do with Prabhupada's walking. And I said, I will walk because he walked. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So Om Aganata Mirandasya Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshur Unmiritam Yenatasmai Shigurave Namaha. My name is Bir Krishna Goswami. I was initiated in the beginning of 1972 in Dallas, Texas, right here. And I was here when Radhakalaji... I was here and helped with the installation for Radhakalachanji when they were situated just on like a linoleum altar. I don't know if any of you were here in that day, but I saw Prabhupada install the deity. So what inspires me and keeps me in Krishna consciousness is the same thing that brought me to Krishna consciousness, which is Srila Prabhupada's vani. And I'll just tell a very brief story because I know we only have 2 more minutes. Before I joined the movement, I was given a Krishna book. It was in 1968 or 69. And I read the story of a little blue boy stealing butter and feeding it to some monkeys, probably rhesus monkeys. So I didn't understand who that little blue boy was. And I didn't know anything about the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. However, that image stuck in my mind, and I kept dreaming about the little blue boy stealing butter and feeding it to monkeys, and I thought I was going crazy. I almost went to a psychiatrist. So that was the potency of Srila Prabhupada's words, the connection with Srila Prabhupada. And that potency inspired me later on to do something I never wanted to do, which is join the Hare Krishna movement, which basically meant shaving off my hair and wearing a dress, which was an anathema to me. So to this day, of course, I understand now who that little blue boy is and who the monkeys were, et cetera, et cetera. But to this day, Srila Prabhupada's Vani very much inspires me and connects me with Srila Prabhupada and keeps me enthusiastic in Krishna consciousness. And I want to dedicate my life to helping others connect to Srila Prabhupada through his Vani. As I said this year in Vrindavan, that even if someone is not directly initiated by Srila Prabhupada, they can have a very deep personal connection. There's no loss by being attached to Srila Prabhupada's words, his books. And nowadays, I don't find devotees reading so much Srila Prabhupada's books like we did in the early days. We had 5-6 classes a day. And I find many devotees haven't even read Bhagavad Gita, what to speak of the other books. So I want to encourage everyone to remain connected and inspired and stay in Krishna consciousness in that way. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
My name is Yogendra, and I took initiation in 1972. I thought it was supposed to be about Srila Prabhupada, so that was what was on my mind. I'll go ahead and tell that story. It was here in Dallas in, I guess, 74. Srila Prabhupada came here, and our temple was New Orleans. We came over to see Srila Prabhupada, a few of us. But I was having a difficult time, and I had a lot of doubts in my mind, and I wanted to talk to Srila Prabhupada about it, but that was quite impossible. I was just a simple brahmachari, and he had so many leaders at that time, and they didn't really want people bothering Prabhupada with our ordinary problems. So it really wasn't so possible. So what I did was I took advantage in a class. There was a big kirtan. I can't remember where the temple was at that time. Big kirtan, all the devotees went ecstasy, except for myself. I wasn't in much ecstasy, but I wanted to talk to Prabhupada. So during the class, it was a Chaitanya Charitamrita class, and Prabhupada spoke a lot about taking shelter of the lotus feet of Radha Madan Mohan. So in the class, I wanted to ask a question, but I was afraid to ask the question. And I was just sort of standing in suspended animation like, And Prabhupada literally turned from the Vyasa sign and went, "Yes." And so I somehow ever got the question out. I said, "Prabhupada, what do you mean by the lotus feet of Radha Madan Mohan? Do you mean serving the deities?" And then Prabhupada quoted that famous sloka from the Srimad Bhagavatam from Prahlad Maharaj, "Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Vandanam, Parasevanam, Archanam, Dasham, Pujanam, Sakyatma, Nivedanam." Said, just take shelter of at least one of these processes. Just take shelter of at least one of these processes. And he went on, but that's all I remember at this time. And that my doubts all became relieved.
Hare Krishna. My name is Dharma Das. I joined the movement in Gainesville in 1971. I was initiated in 1971. I never had very much association with Srila Prabhupada. Mostly it was in separation because I was covering services so others could go and see him. And I got one letter. I wrote one letter and I got a reply from Srila Prabhupada. And that letter is really what inspired me. At the time I was in Gainesville, because everyone, the emphasis was always on book distribution, and everyone went out, and we had our competitions then, and I always was last place, always. So I was pretty frustrated, and actually getting a little upset about that. And in fact, I was thinking of my being upset with that I was always last place. I was thinking, well, maybe I'm, doesn't mean I'm envious of the devotees like that. So I was very concerned. So I wrote a letter to Srila Prabhupada expressing my anxiety, because how are we going to become Krishna conscious if we're envious of the devotees? So Srila Prabhupada wrote back, he said, do not consider this feeling you're having to be as envy of the devotees, but understand it as an indirect appreciation of the service being done by the other devotees. He said, when you feel like this, you should think, oh, all the other devotees are doing such nice service for Krishna. How can I assist them in their service to Krishna? And he said, if you are thinking like this, then you will advance very nicely in spiritual life. So so as it happens, this is shortly before I was sent from Gainesville Temple to Miami Temple. And by the time I got the letter, which I actually received it back in when I was in Miami Temple, where I had been sent to become a pujari. So I took it as this is a service I can do. It was assisting all the others, because devotees can get inspired if the deities are taken care of nicely. So I decided at that time that, you know, I would dedicate the rest of my life to doing deity service for the deities in Miami, which we've done for the last, I think, 40 years now.
Hare Krishna, my name is Sesha Das, and I was initiated in 1974. We were on a traveling party, and we came here to Dallas, and I had my fire sacrifice in front of Radha Kalachandji here in Dallas. They say a picture is worth 1,000 words, so there are three pictures I want to draw your attention to in relation to what inspires me to continue in Krishna consciousness. First picture is, and I want everyone to get their cell phones and digital cameras out, because the first picture is looking at all the devotees here who have dedicated nearly 1,000 total years of their lives to serving Srila Prabhupada. Second picture is, I'd like you all to look to your left, look to your right, look behind you, look in front of you, because you are the second picture of the next group, generation of devotees, to dedicate all those years of your lives to Srila Prabhupada as well. And the third picture is, if you look back in this corner of the room, you see this picture of Srila Prabhupada there. Now, Srila Prabhupada has a smile on his face, and obviously I think he's pleased by all the years of service that this room represents. But it's incomplete in that. That smile to me says that my heart is ready to blossom, but it hasn't yet fully blossomed into that full teethy smile that Srila Prabhupada has. And so what inspires me is to continue till we see that teethy smile of Srila Prabhupada in that picture there. And by the way, I like that picture because your humble servant, Sesha Das, is standing right behind Srila Prabhupada.
Hey Krishna, Kuladri Das. I was initiated in 1970. Had the good fortune of Srila Prabhupada placing the Brahman thread over me and whispering Gayatri in my ear and telling me to stay clean, which, you know. Some of the esteemed Vaishnavas on the stage have expressed, you know, their attachment to Prabhupada's words. My attachment and inspiration is to Prabhupada's body, Padasevanam. I had the good fortune of serving him as a servant on 3 occasions. And some of them were sweet, and some were bittersweet, and some were very instructive. I was with Prabhupada for 2 months as he prepared to leave the planet. But I was also with Prabhupada in mid-70s when he first got sick, and before Krishna Balaram Mandir was open, and we got to serve him, and he was sick at that time when we started the 24-hour kirtan. And I saw an aspect of Prabhupada. Of course, I was in complete awe and reverence when Srila Prabhupada would sit on the Vyasa San and preach to the world. And I saw another side of Srila Prabhupada when he was sick and he was dependent on his devotees to take care of him. So it was a very tender moment. I was asked by a few devotees, I've told the story a few times, but they seem to like it so much, I'm going to tell the mosquito story. When Prabhupada was sick in Vrindavan, malaria was going around, and in the evenings I would massage Srila Prabhupada under a mosquito net, sitting up for hours at a time. It helped relieve him of, you know, whatever illness he was experiencing. So at one time, we were under the mosquito net and a mosquito came in. And I lunged for it and Prabhupada said, no, stop. So I went back to massaging Srila Prabhupada. Then the mosquito landed on Srila Prabhupada's arm and he whisked it away. And Prabhupada turned to me and said, he has attacked. Now you can get him. So I got him. Another story that the devotees like to hear is the when Prabhupada would take in the Brijbasis. Again, this was early on, and the room was full of Brijbasis, and Prabhupada was speaking to them, in language I didn't understand. And so at the end, Prabhupada said, distribute prasadam. He always had a jar of sweet balls on the desk, and he would ask to distribute it whoever was a servant. So people were sitting, and Prabhupada's there, and I walked up, had my back to all of the pilgrims, and I opened the jar of para, and there were ants all over the para. So I kind of tilted it to Srila Prabhupada, and I said, Srila Prabhupada, the ants are eating the para. And Prabhupada looked in and said, they do not eat much, distribute. So, as you can see, I'm not very philosophically inclined, but I do have some sweet memories of Srila Prabhupada, and there were times when he was ill that he depended. He would have me sleeping on the floor right next to him in the evening, and he would ask Kuladri help, and I would have to walk into the bathroom, and Prabhupada, that voice rings in my ears, that Prabhupada was very childish and dependent on. So he's depending on us to, he sacrificed his body and he's depending on us to spread the mission. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
My name is Sundamini, and I was initiated in May of 1975 in San Diego. In 1977, I had the opportunity to go to India. That was the time when the devotees chartered that flight, and we landed, and we went to Mayapur, and they put the ladies on the roof of the kitchen building, and we went down to the temple, which was a little bit of a walk, and a big storm came up. Huge storm. It was raining, windy, everything. We're trying to get back to our belongings. Needless to say, everything was strewn all around, flew off the roof. There's practically nothing left, and we were all soaked. So we all got very sick. And somehow we shoveled into those small rooms that were on the border, like six of us in one of those rooms, and everyone was sick. But Srila Prabhupada was there, and he was going to be giving the Bhagavatam class in the morning. So somehow, I don't even know how I made it to the temple, but somehow or other I crawled and to see Srila Prabhupada, to hear him speak. But I was very sick, and I was like practically doubled over. And after the Bhagavatam class, as Prabhupada's habit, he would circumambulate. And so I was just watching him, and he was with the Gurukula kids and all the devotees and very blissful. And he looked over at me, or looked in my direction at least, and he just went like this with his hand. And just by that simple gesture, I was off the floor and dancing and leaping. So my two realizations were that I would always try to take care of all the devotees in my care and make sure they were properly treated and taken care of nicely. And secondly, I had the realization that Prabhupada was there to always lift us up, not just from a bodily sickness, but from being in the material world. And we just had to stay in the association of devotees and follow him. And he would take us all back to Godhead. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. I'm Mukhya Devi Dasi, and I was initiated in 1975. What inspires me maybe almost every day in my Krishna consciousness is thinking of the sacrifice Srila Prabhupada made, coming at a very advanced age alone, with no money, only faith in Krishna. It's the only thing he was bringing with him, and it was so strong. Of course, here is the result. So when I, when I actually have the nerve to think this is too hard for me, then I'm always, my mind immediately goes to think of that, and it evaporates. And when I, on the rare occasions that I think these devotees are too difficult to deal with, I think of Srila Prabhupada only having 20-year-olds to, I've had a 20-year-old, I have a full realization of what that's like to deal with someone in that age group. And that's what Prabhupada had. And he was so aristocratic and so saintly, and many of the devotees were, had given up their education and were bedraggled in a sense, and that's what he had to spread Lord Chaitanya's mission with. And so that's very inspiring to me, and I think, everything is possible because of that. I just tell you a funny thing, that Achyutananda Prabhu, who's now residing in Alachua, had been invited to go to a group of devotees. There actually were devotees outside of ISKCON temple, but he didn't know that. So they wanted to have him join in with them, and they were discussing something. Maybe they were reading a book or something, and then the conversation got into Gopi Bhava and who they really are in the spiritual world. And suddenly he just stood up and he said, "I'll tell you what Gopi Bhava is. Gopi Bhava is coming to this country from India with no money and no friends and nothing at all with you, to serve Krishna and give Krishna to others. It is not thinking of who you are in the spiritual world." And then he left their group. But I was very much enjoyed hearing him do that. So, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. My name is Praharana Dasi, and I was initiated in 1972, on the day that Srishi Radha Kalachanji and Srishi Radha Kirchar Gopinath were installed in Toronto and Dallas at the same time. So it's my 40th birthday this year. My kids like that one too. Anyway, it's funny because I was going to talk about that roof Mayapur incident too. Anyway, I'll do something else. That gave me a lot of realizations, that whole incident in Mayapur on that roof that night, and ending up in a horrendous situation and super, super sick, and how it was for me the only reason I could crawl to the temple in the morning, because I knew Srila Prabhupada was going to be there. And it just made me feel great. And then he'd go upstairs and I'd fall into my mind and be really sick and crawl back to the room. But that was really an amazing first trip to India for sure. But there's another little incident that happened to me that gives me faith every day. And I was one of those reluctant Sankirtan devotees. I felt it was really hard for me on the street. I'm not like an out there in your face kind of person. It was really tough for me every day on the street doing Sankirtan. And I had an opportunity to become the Pujari when Lakshmimani and Jagadish Prabhu left Toronto. So I became head Pujari. But I was nervous about it because I didn't know very much. And Srila Prabhupada came to Toronto in 1974. And he was out on morning walk one morning, and I addressed Radhakirchar Gopinath. And I was thinking, oh my goodness, this is really, new devotee, pretty neophyte. I'm thinking, this is their opportunity to really complain to Srila Prabhupada about me, because I'm obviously totally inadequate at what I'm doing here. I'm just pretending to be a pujari. I don't even know what I'm doing. So I was really a little worried about it. And I was thinking, well, if he's really busy, maybe he won't be looking at the deities too much. But then I was doing the aarti, 7 o'clock greeting deities aarti, and Srila Prabhupada walked in the door ahead of everybody else. He'd come back from the walk. They were all mingling outside. He walked in, and we were alone in the temple room. And it was a tiny temple room at Gerrard Street. He was just a couple of feet behind me, and he paid dandabats, and he got up, and he looked at the deities. And it was probably no more than half a minute that everybody came in. But I was offering aarti, just shaking, like, oh, what am I supposed to do? And I just kept doing the aarti. Then I started thinking, oh, my goodness, I wonder what he thought of what I've done with the deities. And later on in the day, it kept going through my mind. You know, all day I was in anxiety about it and thinking, I'm going to be right back out on Sankirtan, I know. Which was, for me, oh, no. Anyway, I just wasn't that transcendental. And anyway, later on in the day, Yojapati Prabhu, who's now Bibi Govinda Swami, came out and said, Praharna, Praharna, Srila Prabhupada asked me to tell you that you need to go buy a bigger bell. So I was so relieved. I went running down to Chinatown. I bought this great big bell. And the next morning at RT, you know, all the devotees were there, and I was doing the RT, and it was like, bong, bong. But I just felt like, you know, I'd served my guru somehow, and I'd been saved by him. And somehow, every time I wonder what I'm doing or whether I'm doing the right thing, I just think, yes, Srila Prabhupada knows what's in your heart, and he directs you. And he's still doing that. So for me, that was really a changing moment.
Hare Krishna. My name is Piyari Mohandas. I was initiated in April of 72. I don't remember the exact date, but that's close enough. I'm changing the pastime that I witnessed of Prabhupada, because it's gone from 5 minutes to 3 minutes, so I'm going to talk about something else.
She says go ahead.
It's okay? Okay. I was doing Sankirtan in the Paramus Mall selling books, saw somebody with a bead bag, which is very unusual in the early 70s, so I stopped him, and he mentioned he just came from New York, and Srila Prabhupada was there. So I called up the New York Temple pretending I was not a devotee, because they didn't let devotees know when Prabhupada came to New York at that time. And I found out that he was leaving that day. So I said, thank you. And then I got in the van. I was a van leader, picked up the devotees on the way to New York. While we're driving, we changed from our karmic clothes into our dhotis. And then we got to the Brooklyn Temple, and Prabhupada's bags were outside. Shrutakirti was watching. I asked Shrutakirti if I can carry his bags down. He said no. So I just waited. When Prabhupada came, we offered our obeisances. He got in a car. We got in our van. He drove to the airport, and there was two other cars waiting behind Prabhupada's, and we were the third one in our van. And then one of the cars moved, went on the side. And the one devotee I was with was telling us to go on the side, you know, and see Prabhupada. And I said, no, we got to follow in his footsteps. So we stayed in the van following behind. Then the other car went. We were the only ones, we were right behind Prabhupada. So then Prabhupada pulls up to the terminal, and we had to go into the parking lot to park. And I prayed to Krishna, please, Krishna, please let us find a parking spot. Because in New York, it's not always, it takes a long time, lots of times, to find a parking spot at the airport. And as soon as we went in, there was a spot right there. We pulled right in, we ran to the airport, and Prabhupada was going into this room. And we also got into this room with maybe 30 devotees. And then there was a few hundred devotees, like, outside the room. So we got in the room, and there was a couch and two couches on the two corners and a table in the middle. And I, before that, when Prabhupada was there in the morning, apparently, when he saw the deities, he really liked Radha Govinda. They looked very beautiful, and he mentioned that. So they took a picture, and there wasn't digital photography where you can just print it, but they had it printed up because they had a place there at the the press, the Brooklyn Press was there, and they developed a print, and they blew it up, and they gave it to him before he left. So he put the picture of Radha Govinda on the end table, and he says, you know, anywhere we go is like a temple. I've got one part, Prabhupada sat on this couch. This one devotee with my party sat on this couch. Everyone else sat on the floor, and then he slipped off the couch onto the floor. And just some of the things that he said were, one thing was Gopal Krishna, he was married at the time, and he was standing at the in the doorway, and Prabhupada was calling him in, and he didn't want to come in because he had on his karmi clothes because he just came from work, and he was like a little embarrassed to be in front of Prabhupada like that. And Prabhupada said, no, you come in. He said you're the real sannyasi, not he who lights no fire and performs no work. And Prabhupada said that wherever grains are nicely kept, where there's a good leader and there are no quarrels in the household, automatically Lakshmi will come into that home. He says, you don't have to invite her, she'll come automatically. And then he said, so you recently got a raise? And Gopal Krishna said, yes, Srila Prabhupada. And he says, you should give that money to Bali Mardan. And he said, yes, Srila Prabhupada. And during this time, there was one devotee. Oh, actually, they first gave Prabhupada prasadam. It was some pieces of watermelon cut up with the seeds taken out. They didn't have the seedless watermelons at that time. And he put the watermelon put the plate by the picture on the end table. And he was saying how everywhere is a temple. We can have a temple everywhere. And then someone was offering incense. Anyway, to make the long story short, they were offering the incense, and after they offered the incense, they didn't know what to do with them, so Bali Mardan took the incense. He didn't know what to do with it, and Prabhupada says, give me the incense. So Prabhupada took the incense, and he took a piece of the watermelon off the plate and stuck the incense in the watermelon. there's a little bit more. He was giving out roses, and I remember really trying to get a rose. I wanted to get a rose from Prabhupada. And Jayadvaita, who was a brahmachari at the time, he was standing there with his hand out, in front of Prabhupada trying to get a rose. And everyone else is just like grabbing the rose. So I was also one of those very enthusiastic. and I kind of practically grabbed the rose, you know, from Prabhupada. And then the last rose went into Jayadvaita. Jayadvaita's hand, and it looked to me like he was just trying to give the rose to Jayadvaita every time, and someone else was just taking them, and the last one finally went into his hand. And then after that, I got the rose, but I didn't really appreciate it so much because it's almost like I stole it there from Prabhupada. Anyway, my time is up. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
My name is Chandrasekhar Das, and I was initiated underneath the Brooklyn Bridge in 1972. Kuladri set that up. The Dome Theater. We were traveling together with Vishnu Janaswamy doing the first Transcendental American Exposition, and we had to do our rehearsals in that theater. I'm so deeply appreciative of all of these jewels that Srila Prabhupada has created. That's what's kept me fixed over the years. And a story that you might not know, without Srila Prabhupada's prison preaching, there might not be a Hare Krishna movement. That's because in the 60s, Srila Prabhupada had to put so many things in order to get to America. He needed a sponsor, he needed a visa, he needed a P form, no objection certificate. He needed a way to get to America. He needed all these things. Everything came in order, except he didn't have a visa. And to get the visa from the American embassy, he needed a letter of recommendation, which he didn't have. So he approached the president of India, who he knew. They were friends, Dr. Radhakrishna. And he said, you give me this letter of recommendation. And he said, no. Just like Sumati Maharaji, he said, no, why do you want to go to America? You're an elderly gentleman. So he was a friend of Srila Prabhupada's. He said, no, I'm worried about you. And Srila Prabhupada immediately chastised him. So what are you doing for the dacoits of this country and the rogues to uplift them in spiritual life? And so Dr. Radhakrishna was not a fool. So he took Prabhupada's challenge. And he said, let's see what you can do. And so he said, I'm setting up a program for you at Midnapur Central Jail, and we'll see how things go. And so that's what Prabhupada said. Yes, very good. So that's what happened. Everybody loved Prabhupada. The guards loved Prabhupada. The administrators loved Prabhupada. And the inmates loved Prabhupada. And so the reports got back to Dr. Radhakrishna, and he sent the letter to the American embassy, and Prabhupada got his visa. Haribol. That's the way I look at it. Without Srila Prabhupada preaching in the prisons in India, we might not be together today. He was preaching in Janakpur and Tahar prison as well before ever coming to America. He had met a bunch of rogues that really loved him before ever coming to 26th Second Avenue or Haight-Ashbury. He was preaching to inmates and encouraged us to do the same. I'm also in that picture, Sesha. I'm standing right next to Sesha. Remember that. They always crop me out. Just my chin is there. So very intelligent. Mahapatita Pavana Dev Srila Prabhupada Ki. Jai.
Hare Krishna, my name is Sunanda Das. I was initiated in the famous Henry Street Temple in Brooklyn in 1973. And practically from the first day that I started going to the temple, I was still in high school, my last year of high school. I finished and then moved into the temple, but Ramapada Maharaj was there. I think you were maybe the temple commander or something like that. But he'll remember, we used to go out on Harinam Sankirtan, 8 to 10 hours a day together, all the devotees. Sometimes the whole temple would go out. That's the way the Hare Krishna movement started. We would go out every day, 8 to 10 hours a day. Sometimes we would go out at 7 o'clock in the morning to Wall Street area, and then we would come back to the temple and take breakfast, then we would go out again, and then they would bring prasadam out for us for lunch, and then we would chant some more, and sometimes stay out till the evening or come back for the evening program. So my whole training and my whole experience of the Hare Krishna movement from day one is chanting Hare Krishna. And I'm relating this to Prabhupada because when I was first coming to the temple, I used to stay on the weekends while I was going to high school. And I remember very clearly something that inspired me to chant good rounds, because I found that that's what's really kept me going all these years in Krishna consciousness, is chanting good rounds. As I recall very clearly in the temple room, sitting in front of the Vyasasan of Srila Prabhupada. And some temples, we still do this, I think. Some temples don't, but most temples still play the tape of Prabhupada chanting japa. You know, there's a couple of different tapes. One is the slow chanting, the class, where everyone's chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna together. But then there's the other one, the actual japa tape, where Prabhupada is chanting in his normal speed. And when I first heard that tape of Prabhupada chanting japa, it was, I just couldn't stop listening to Prabhupada. It was so inspiring to hear Prabhupada chanting this japa, his japa. And then not too long ago, several years ago, I think it was Mula Prakriti's book, what is it called, her book? Our Srila Prabhupada. There's a story where one person went to see Prabhupada in his room at Radha-Damodar Temple, and they were struck at hearing Prabhupada chant his japa, how devotional and how absorbed he was in his chanting. So that hearing Prabhupada on this tape, and I still to this day, if I'm not in a temple, if I'm at home and I'm chanting my japa, I always try to play the tape of Prabhupada chanting japa while I chant my japa. So that's always been an inspiration for me, because we are, after all, the Hare Krishna movement, and we will continue chanting Hare Krishna when we leave the material world, when we're in Goloka Vrindavan, we'll continue chanting, we'll always be chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, my name is Madhuha Das. I moved in the temple when Prabhupada installed Panchatattva in Honolulu about a month after Gaur Purnima in 1972. But I waited, many devotees in Hawaii did, until 1977, and Prabhupada gave me first and second at the same time in Vrindavan, India. And two stories I just wanted to pass on, or two pastimes. One was a morning walk in Almawana Park in Honolulu. And I think it was Kailash Chandra. I haven't seen or heard of him for several years, but he was a temple commander there. And on the morning walks in Hawaii, I would always stand as far back as I could from Prabhupada. And if he ever turned around, I would get behind some. I was afraid to be seen by him, but Kailas was asking him, Prabhupada, we have people in the temple, they just want to like read Krishna book all day. And oh yes, very nice. That's no, but you don't understand, Prabhupada. We have so much service and all they want to do is read Krishna book. Oh, that's very nice. No, Prabhupada, they're not doing any service. They have to do some service. And then Prabhupada stopped and he said, when someone's in the hospital, you have to take the instructions of the doctor. So to me, it meant that Krishna consciousness is a lot more than saying being a card-carrying member of ISKCON, I live in an ISKCON temple, or I wear a dhoti and tilak and a sari. Krishna consciousness means rising early, Mangal Arati, Srimad Bhagavatam. This was written in every initiation letter that I've ever seen. This is essential for Krishna consciousness. It's following the instructions of our doctor. And whether you moved into a temple in 1970 or today, we're all getting the same instructions. These are the instructions Prabhupada wanted us. He wanted us to go on Harinam. In Hawaii, every devotee was going out 9 hours a day. And then one more thing, which Badri Narayan Prabhu related in his class, he reminded me. The last time I saw Prabhupada was in 1977 on his bed in his room. And actually, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he came looking because I was traveling with someone in India and they said, this boy is an electrician, I knew how to fix electrical thing. So I went, he said, you're an electrician, come right now. And he dragged me up to Prabhupada's quarters. Prajumna Prabhu was reading to Prabhupada at night, and it was getting dark, and the light stopped working. Tamal said, fix the light. So, you're going to fix the light. So I see it's plugged in, the light bulb is screwed, I start feeling the extension cord, seeing if the bad wire, and finally the light went on. So Tamal goes like this. So I let go, the light went out. I held it again, he goes like this. I said, no. So I had to stay there until he stopped reading, which was about an hour. But if I let go of it, the light would have went off. So, and then, 30 seconds. When seeing Prabhupada lying, like that famous video that Nishingananda put out, the final lesson, you see him translating. And Badri just mentioned how Srila Prabhupada said, I want to die like our fighting.
My last breath.
Fight. So I saw that, and to me, just when I think of Srila Prabhupada, I think of tenacity. He sticks with it. He had his service. His guru ordered him to preach in this language. Until his last breath, he was doing his service that his guru wanted him to do. So this is what inspires me to keep on. Anytime I think I'm tired, I think, look at Srila Prabhupada. I mean, he didn't have to do what he did. He did it because his guru requested.
My name is Bhadra Narayan Das. I first met Prabhupada in August of 1969 in Los Angeles, and I took initiation in 1971. When we got our instructions from Malati Mataji, at least when I heard it, we were also supposed to say something about any instructions on management that we got from Srila Prabhupada. So I was on a morning walk in Chicago, Lakeshore Park. Prabhupada was walking along, and he pointed with his cane. He said, "What is this? Fruit or flower? Just some plant." Nobody knew anything. I, by Krishna's grace, know a little bit about gardening. I said, "Prabhupada, it's a holly plant." And then Prabhupada said, "Fruit or flower?" I said, "Prabhupada, it makes these little red berries. The birds eat them." But then, all right, Prabhupada walked on further. Swung his cane. "What is this? Fruit or flower?" I said, "Prabhupada, that's a camellia. They make a flower, but it has no fragrance." Walk a little further. "What is this?" I said, "Prabhupada, that's a weed." So I said, "What does that mean, weed?" I said, "Prabhupada, it's useless." Then he stopped and looked at me and said, "No, you're useless." Which I thought, okay, he's right, you know. And then Prabhupada said, "What does that mean, useless?" And I said, "You know, it has no use." Prabhupada said, "No, everything has a use." He said, "Krishna does not waste." He said in Ayurveda, either, you know, it has a medicinal purpose or a fiber purpose or a fuel purpose. He says it has a use, you just don't know the use. So you're useless, not the plant. So that's true. I was on a walk in Detroit with Srila Prabhupada, and I asked Prabhupada, I thought, well, I'll take another crack at it. I said, "Prabhupada, what does it mean to be one of your temple presidents?" And I thought he would say, "It means that, you know, you're on the front line, you're one of the generals, you're empowered by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you're one of my representatives." No. Prabhupada stopped, sized me up, said, "If anything goes wrong, it's your fault." Which was very good instruction, you know. And then he added, "Remember that you're blessed to serve the devotees." So if I remember that I'm blessed to serve the devotees in this position, then it becomes very sweet, you know. And then just the last thing, because I was supposed to talk about something about management. I was in New Vrindavan, and Prabhupada said, someone was saying this happened and that happened, and I, you know, please forgive me and this and that. Prabhupada said, "I'll forgive you once. I'll forgive you twice. Third time I take off my shoe." And then Prabhupada sat back, kind of chuckled, and he said, "Actually, the spiritual master is unlimitedly merciful, but do not take advantage." All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
My name is Silvas Das, and I joined in 1973, and it was initiated in 73 in Denver, Colorado. I'll speak a little bit more about what's inspired me to keep going on. I didn't have much association with Srila Prabhupada, a couple of times here or there. And I found out what my name meant after a while, after a few years. It means that I'm a servant of the holy abode of the Lord, like Vrindavan, Mayapur, and Dwarka.
New Dwarka.
So I had no idea at that time. But the very profound meeting that I had with Prabhupada was in Detroit that particular time. I was on a morning walk, and I did say some things to Srila Prabhupada about book distribution, and just to please him. I wanted to please Prabhupada, make him happy. And he must have picked up on my vibration, because he actually stopped, and he did say some wonderful things, and those things changed my life to this day. And that was that Prabhupada was very inclined towards book distribution, and I felt this is what Srila Prabhupada wanted. So I did all kinds of things I could in order to control that situation wherever I was. Because, as you know, I'm a little bit of a control freak. It's in me. But I thought, well, little that I know what it meant, but I thought, well, the only way I can get into this and distribute Prabhupada's books without any hindrance was to become a temple president. Little did I know what that meant. So when you're youthful, you do things. You have no idea what the long-term consequences are. But the most profound thing was that in that particular meeting, I was determined that Srila Prabhupada would be pleased forever with me if I simply just engaged in this book distribution. So at that point, I made it my life and soul to distribute Prabhupada's books. And throughout the years, this is actually what's been happening. So I figured that if anyone just makes a sincere endeavor to please the spiritual master, and the outcome is that one can become very happy and inspired and a want to be a Hare Krishna devotee. It's been a great ride for all these 38 years. It's been wonderful serving Srila Prabhupada, giving everything to Prabhupada. And I think the most important aspect that's inspired me is that I truly believe that if you distribute Prabhupada's books, everything else will come. If you give your blood, your life, your soul to this activity of distributing and preaching Prabhupada's literature and his word, his vani, that there'll be no lack of anything in this Krishna consciousness movement. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. My name is Vaisheshika Das, and I was initiated in San Francisco in 1974. And I've been inspired by many, many things, all of which have come from Prabhupada throughout the years. Recently, within the last few days, actually, I've been reading the second canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam again. And in one of Srila Prabhupada's purports, he says that frustration is when we experience frustration, we can actually realize the self, because when the soul comes in contact with matter, naturally there's frustration. And I could live off that statement. And in the Sri Upanishad, in the invocation, Srila Prabhupada says that all forms of incompleteness are experienced due to incomplete knowledge of the complete. Who could say something like that? But it's not just isolated incidents. Throughout Srila Prabhupada's books, it's dense with these kinds of statements that are absolutely fully realized statements. And Srila Prabhupada's books are sustain me. I read them over and over again, and I think maybe I can get to know something about them. Something. But they're so deep that the more I read, the more I think that I'll never come to the end of it. Another thing that inspires me and has inspired me throughout my life in Krishna consciousness is how Srila Prabhupada emphasized the fundamentals. And one time, Satsvarup Maharaj was going to perform a fire yajna for Srila Prabhupada, and he asked Prabhupada, what kind of fire yajna? How elaborate? What should he do? And Prabhupada said, two words, shortcut. And Prabhupada shortcutted many things that weren't important. However, at the same time, there's so many details of things that are important, and he brought those out. A few years ago, at a Vyasa Puja ceremony in San Jose, my dear godbrother Satyadev Prabhu, I gave an offering to Prabhupada, and he talked about his appreciation for Prabhupada giving us the four regulative principles. And he said he just thanked Prabhupada profusely for giving us the four regulative principles. And out of all the offerings that day, everyone said, give me a copy of that. I want to look at it. And it reminded me that Prabhupada gave us everything foundational that was absolutely necessary. And he also gave us all the details that would satisfy our deepest curiosities in philosophical sense. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
My name is Kalakanta Das. I moved in the temple, Portland Temple, in 1972 and was initiated on my 19th birthday in 1973. So I was a very young man, and Prabhupada writes in the Nectar of Devotion about how formerly his disciples were very ragged and unhappy and gloomy. That was me. And once they come to Krishna consciousness, they are dancing like jubilant peacocks. So I wasn't exactly dancing, but I had this wonderful service of traveling and doing book distribution, which I just loved. We lived in a van. It was very austere. We lived in a van. We ate out of grocery stores. We had no base. We had no residence. And I loved every moment of it. It was an adventure every day and so much fun. I just had no idea it was humanly possible to experience such sustained happiness. But one thing was missing. It seemed a little impersonal in my relationship with Srila Prabhupada. I had seen him a few times. I had never talked to him. I always had this desire. I would just like to do some personal service for Srila Prabhupada. So in the summer of 1975, we came to Chicago, our party of 10 brahmacharis, and then the Radha Damodar party of 120 brahmacharis. We're all massed together in Chicago. Prabhupada installed six sets of deities and initiated 75 disciples. And I thought the Hare Krishna movement will take over the world this year, 3 years maximum. So we had a couple of rare days off. My good friend Apoorva Prabhu said, "Would you like to help me cook for Prabhupada?" I had no idea how to cook anything, but I said yes. And so he taught me how to make sandesh, and there I was kneading out sandesh on the countertop. And then he said, "Would you like to offer Prabhupada his lunch?" And I thought, what an amazing opulence. He has so much personal association with a pure devotee that he can give away something. If it were mine, I would hoard it. But he gave me this chance to serve, so I said yes. In such a way, I hope he wouldn't take it back, you know, not too eager. But he told me what to do. I went in the room, and there I was alone with Srila Prabhupada in his room. Now, the day before, Satsup Maharaj, our party leader, had introduced all of us to Srila Prabhupada. And I had that experience when he said my name and Prabhupada looked at me. Many of us had, it looked like Prabhupada was looking right through you. And I felt like a feather, like just so insignificant. I was about to just float away. There's absolutely nothing to my existence whatsoever. But Shruti Kirti Prabhu later said that when Prabhupada looked at people like that, he was thinking, how can I engage this person in Krishna service? He wasn't analyzing. He was thinking, how can I engage? So anyway, that introduction had taken place the day before. So there I was with Prabhupada. I offered the plate. I offered the prayers. Left. And then he rang the bell. I came back in. If I knew then what I know now, what questions would I have asked him? What appreciation I would have expressed? But I was 21 and wide-eyed and didn't know anything. So I took the plate and I left. It occurred to me that I was holding a plate of Prabhupada's remnants. When Brahmananda Swami's door opened across the hall, he said, "Give me that." I did see Prabhupada had eaten two pieces of sandesh. I was very happy. Next day, Apoorva came and said, Prabhupada said, "Why are so many men staying back from book distribution to cook for me?" So this ended my one-day career as Prabhupada's servant. But then we went on the road. It was just as blissful, and I realized that it is the service of Prabhupada and the association of devotees, that's where the happiness comes from. And even if we're offering him cold milk and cold cereal from the grocery store, it was just as good. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Hare Krishna. My name is Chaitanya Chandradas. I was initiated in Chicago in 1975, just after my 19th birthday, also pretty young. The first thing that was amazing to me, and when Prabhupada was there, I had the same experience you had in Chicago. It was amazing. We went to the temple room, and I felt like I was flying, like there was no more bodily existence. I couldn't feel the material world. It was just like you're just flying. It was like, wow. And I was the first one in that initiation to take initiation, and nobody had coached us at all about what to say, what to do. Tamal Krishna Maharaj, a few days before that, actually in Chicago, he says, "You should take initiation." I was like, I didn't really even know what that was. I'd only been a devotee for a month there on the Radha Damodar party. I said, okay, whatever you think, you know. And so I went there, and they balked a sigh, and he says, Prabhupada says, so what are the four rules and regulations? And I had never heard it put like that before. I always thought it was a regulative principles. And I just read Nectar Devotion, and there's so many rules and things, and I was thinking, oh, going back in the Nectar Devotion, what does he mean? What does he mean? I was like, oh, no. And you have stage fright because you're there in front of Srila Prabhupada and this huge crowd of devotees, and it's a very inconceivable situation. It's like really amazing. You can't, there's no other thing like that. And I was just like, oh no. And Brahmananda says, do you know the four regulative principles? I said, oh, you mean the no gambling, intoxication, those ones? And he goes, yeah, he knows them, Srila Prabhupada. And I, your name is Chaitanya Chandra Das. And it was the first name, and it was a great name, so everybody like roared. It was like, this is a beautiful name, you know. And I was actually really amazed when we sat down for the fire sacrifice. And when we got up to stand up to put the banana in the fire, I felt this giant mountain-like karma just like go and just whoosh, off into space. I was like, wow, I probably really did accept our karma. It was so amazing. But another time in Mayapur, and Srila Prabhupada, the association of Mayapur with Prabhupada was so amazing. We were just the rank and file Radha Damodar party. We got to go there. The whole party went on the same, the 747. And Srila Prabhupada at the end, when he was circumambulating, ringing the beautiful bell, the kirtan was so ecstatic all the time there with Prabhupada that you practically didn't see anybody's feet touching the ground. The devotees were flying in the air, and I was one of those flying brahmacharis. And in Prabhupada's presence in those kirtans, you got off the Bali platform. There was no, that was like the perfection of your existence, practically. Having a kirtan in front of Prabhupada and being off the Bali platform, you couldn't tell you were your body anymore. You were just this flying spirit soul. And Prabhupada's ringing the bell. And the kirtan is just ecstatic. There's so many devotees there. And then all of a sudden, you felt this giant ecstasy wave, and everybody's Haribol. And everybody turned around, and it was Prabhupada dancing with his arms in the air in the middle of the temple room. And it just produced this giant wave, and everybody was just caught up in this wave. So it was really that was an amazing thing just to remember Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Hare Krishna, my name is Ura Jaswada. Thank you. Ura Jaswada Das. In 1972, Nora Narayan came up and asked me, you want to do some service for Prabhupada? We're going to build a garden. I said, a garden? Okay. I think an elevated garden. No, they're going to break down the cement and the asphalt down to the ground and make it. I said, wow. He said, oh, you're a big, strong guy. You can do that. I said, okay. Oh, I'm not that strong, you know. But anyway. So we started doing the garden, and when Narayan Ryan said, as soon as we're making this garden, and you're going to get initiated. I said, oh, okay, that's cool. So Prabhupada came in 1970, he left, I didn't get initiated. But so 1973, Prabhupada came again. I said, can I get initiated? Oh, yeah. Next time, Prabhupada left again. And then in a few weeks, months, and a guy came and said, you should just go home. This movie not for you. Just go home. I said, oh, really? Well, I'm not very good at following instructions, so I stayed anyway. So that's a long story, but and I stayed and became a devotee and got initiated. And, is that 3 minutes now?
What keeps you going?
Well, I just remember the promo said that you cannot separate the soul from the body in a conditional state, so therefore you cannot separate the orders of the spiritual master from the disciple. So in my mind, I always kept that in the back of mind that remember the order of the spiritual master is spiritual life. And then I remember when Prabhupada gave a class, he said, the only two things you must remember. He said, always remember Krishna and don't forget Krishna. He said that an intelligent man, he said, is a man who never forgets that at any moment he's going to die. If he's always intelligent, he'll remember that. Any moment you're going to die. So that's, I can go on and on and on. You know that. So, thank you. Hare Krishna. Thank
you. Hare Krishna. It's seeing Prabhupada and all of you in moments like that, like this, that keep me going. I took some absence from his service at one point. And I, after a lengthy time, I walked in the door at New Vrindavan, and I saw him sitting to my right. And I was so stunned just seeing him sitting there that I knew I was supposed to make obeisances. And you just know that, of course. But I couldn't move. I was just like stunned. And I looked normal externally, but internally I was just like shaking so much. And he spoke to me. He raised his finger and he said, "Now you stay. Now you stay." And I recalled a letter that he had written to Hayagriva saying that the spiritual master will come and pull you back by your hair. But don't force him. Don't take advantage. And I had done that. This episode was in 1990, in August. And even though his physical presence had departed, he had pulled me back. So I'm inspired daily by my godbrothers, my godsisters, because they're an example of Srila Prabhupada's incredible ability to take raw earth and make worthy vessels. Hare Krishna.
Maybe I can just end with a prayer from Prabhupada. Combine two things, hearing all the devotees talk about how inspired they've been by Prabhupada, and maybe I'll share a little bit and something I think maybe kind of summarizes it. And in my services communications, we refer a lot to this poem that Prabhupada wrote, Markane Bhagavad Dharma, when he first landed in Boston. And I find this very inspiring because I kind of think, try to understand a little bit what Prabhupada must have felt like in that boat by himself, with a few cases of books somewhere in the hold of the ship, a few rupees that couldn't be transferred into dollars, and some people he didn't even know he could stay with for a few days, and this incredible mission, and in a sense, you know, the burden of, but a burden of love, but this burden that he's carrying for spiritual master's mission. And he writes this beautiful poem, so I think it kind of summarizes a little bit the spirit here, and I find this very inspiring, so appropriate for me to read this. My dear Lord Krishna, you are so kind upon this useless soul, but I do not know why you have brought me here. Now you can do whatever you like with me. But I guess you have some business here, otherwise why would you bring me to this terrible place? Most of the population here is covered by modes of ignorance and passion. Absorbed in material life, they think themselves very happy and satisfied, and therefore they have no taste for the transcendental message of Vasudeva. I do not know how they will be able to understand it. But I know your causeless mercy can make everything possible because you are the most expert mystic. How will they understand the mellows of devotional service? O Lord, I am simply praying for your mercy,
so that I will be able to convince them about your message. All living entities have come under the control of the illusory energy by your will. And therefore, if you like, by your will, they can also be released from the clutches of illusion. I wish that you may deliver them. Therefore, if you so desire their deliverance, then only will they be able to understand your message. The words of the Srimad Bhagavatam are your incarnation. And if a sober person repeatedly receives them with submissive oral reception, then he will be able to understand your message. He will become liberated from the influence of the modes of ignorance and passion, and thus all inauspicious things accumulated in the core of the heart will disappear. How will I make them understand this message of Krishna consciousness? I am very unfortunate, unqualified, and most fallen. Therefore, I am seeking your benediction so that I can convince them, for I am powerless to do so on my own. Somehow or other, O Lord, you have brought me here to speak about you. Now, my Lord, it is up to you to make me a success or failure as you like. O spiritual master of all the worlds, I can simply repeat your message. So if you like, you can make my power of speaking suitable for their understanding. Only by your causeless mercy will my words become pure. I am sure that when this transcendental message penetrates their hearts, they will certainly feel engladdened and thus become liberated from all unhappy conditions of life. O Lord, I am just like a puppet in your hands. So if you have brought me here to dance, then make me dance. Make me dance. O Lord, make me dance as you like. I have no devotion, nor do I have any knowledge, but I have strong faith in the holy name of Krishna. I have been designated as Bhaktivedanta, and now, if you like, you can fulfill the real purport of Bhaktivedanta. Signed, the most unfortunate, most insignificant beggar, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, on board the ship Jaladuta, Boston, 18 September, 1965. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. And all of Srila Prabhupada's servants of the very first and the immediate following and the future generations, Ki Jai. Let's offer respects to all of the Vaishnavas here. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada's Vaishnavas Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada's North American ISKCON Ki Jai. Gaura Premanandi. Amen.